the Friday before that, we should memorize that verse. If nothing else, we should all know that verse. Remember, we all gave ourselves that assignment. Where two or more are gathered together in his name. No, I remember because it's one of the paintings in my house, so I can't forget that. Please be seated. Where? But Sister Shade, was it Sister Kike that was challenging everybody to remember it last Sunday? Where two or more are gathered together in his name, there I am in my name, there I am in the midst of them, Jesus said. Where? That would be a church memory verse. So that we always remember that we are not few at all, because Jesus is always here. Where is it? Praise the Lord. Let's say it together. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Midst of them. Let's always remember. The Lord is here. We adore him. And we worship him and bless him for his goodness. It's always a privilege. I think as I remember in the Old Testament, the feasts of the Jews, the purpose of them, of those feasts, is that the people may gather together unto the Lord, that they may be a people unto the Lord. It may be a memorial to them that they are God's people. Outside of the feast, they had a lot of activities, their harvest, their regular life. But God always commanded them to come together as a people specifically for the purpose of worshiping, of praising, of sacrificing, of making the praise of God a common thing among them. And I always think this is what our Sunday gatherings are as well. Just to get away from our daily work and acknowledge that we are God's people, that he's the one that sustained us. And I pray that it will please the Lord to continue to receive the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. There's nothing as terrible as we read that in 1 Corinthians 11, as not discerning the body of the Lord or not discerning the communion or his presence. I pray that the Lord will always be strong and powerful in the midst of us in Jesus' name. I would like to say welcome to a few faces. My Gen Z interpreter, Oluwatemiayo. So nice to see you. Welcome. Mr. Folake Indero came in. Thank you. Mommy, welcome. Mommy, welcome as well. We haven't seen you in a while as well. We bless the Lord who takes us out and brings us back in. Sister Bonani, you're not going to sit there. You are going to sit in the main church. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's my bureau. I can pick on her. Let us pray. Bless us, Father. Give us the grace to tremble at your word. Our life is just for a while. Father, as the poor and the needy glean from the fields of the Jews after a harvest, and the gleaning of the fields of the merciful is sufficient for the poor. Father, give us the grace to glean from the field that your prophets, that your disciples, your apostles, the wise of old have gleaned from. Father, please drop a crumb of revelation of Jesus Christ this morning, of your desire. I pray this will not just be ordinary words. But Lord, I pray that you breathe upon these words and open your scriptures to us and our eyes that we may understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, I think we'd like to quickly acknowledge those who are online today. We always forget, almost always forget our online people. But Afemi Indero too is here. I don't know when last he came. You are not going to believe this man was an elder in this church. And we say worse because it deserted us. Can you believe it? I think this is only the second or third time that you've been back since you went. What do you mean, no? We've been keeping a record. Amazing. Amazing. Thank you for remembering us. We're so grateful that you came to see us. I know that you've been to Maryland many, many, many times, but rarely have you visited us. So we're really very grateful that Brother Femi Indero is visiting with us. Please let us bless the Lord for him. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Femi. We pray that it will please you to always remember that Hyattsville is home. And when you come to Maryland, that you may visit with us. He was an elder. Can you believe it? But we bless the Lord. He's here. So we thank God for this. We bless the Lord for that. We bless the Lord. Welcome, Brother Femi. Those who are online, Sister Fola Kadini, we see you. Tishe. Mommy, we see you. God bless you. Tommy. Ademide, nice to see you. Oh, the Ogunso, is that Sister Fadike? Yeah. Sister Tola, we see you. That's Sister Tola. Brother Tola is there. That has to be Sister Tola. We see you, Sanctuary. Brother Kunle, we see you. I understand Brother Kunle couldn't be here. You are missed. Well, we see you. Thank God. We bless the Lord. We thank the Lord for keeping all of us. Today, we'll be talking about waiting on the Lord. Last week, we talked about integrity. The week before then, if I believe, we talked about love. You know, the need to practice love, to remember love is the end of all commandments. Was it Paul that said the end of all commandments is this love that comes from a pure heart and a faith that's sincere, that's unfeigned. That's it. Said after all of that doctrine, all of that structure, all of that, the end of it is love. It says love is the bond of perfection. In fact, we went on to read 1 Corinthians 13, that no matter how spiritual, no matter how much vision, how much prophecy you know, no matter how many scriptures you can quote, no, you could even give all of your money to the poor and even up that a little bit and give your body to be burnt at stake, that it means nothing if there's no love. And it says, what is love? Then we went on to learn the characteristics of love. And that's where some of us began to get convicted. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love suffers long. Love does not fail. All kinds of things. Does not envy. Does not pumped up. Does not seek its own. Love is totally selfless. That's the love, the agape love of God. And then we went on further, in which the apostle went on to teach us that, okay, now you've learned all of these theories of love. Go ahead. Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Pursue this love. That means love is a pursuit. It's an aspiration. It's not something that we just sit at home. The mistake is most of us have thought that because we are Christians, we're automatically perfect in love. I don't know how you think it. I just wonder how some of us are not sincere about our own hearts. I mean, others can deceive me, but I can't deceive myself, right? And I bless the Lord because I have a heart that is incapable of deceiving itself. Just look into your heart and you will see there's still a project of love. You see where your impatience is. You see where you're not suffering long. So go ahead and pursue it. And I bless the Lord because he did not say you are condemned. He said, hey, I want you to face the truth that you have not yet been perfected in love. So go ahead and pursue love. And if the love is the bond of perfection, then it's worth chasing after. So we learn about that. And then last we learn about Christian integrity. We've learned that we've forgotten about little things. We've not forgotten about the big things. We're doing the prayer and the fasting. We're doing the tithes and offerings. But the little foxes that ravage the vine. And because integrity is lost, the church also, or we Christians, our reputation has suffered. Oshet came here and said to us, there's charisma. And then there's character. He said, we better focus on character. The charisma we pass, but character remains. One striking illustration was that it reminded us that one day, every one of us will be laid at grave at the grave. We will leave the body in the grave. But then, when we walk away, people will still be talking about you. What part of you are they talking about? your character. So he says it's best that we invest in character rather than simply in charisma. New Covenant Church, God loves us. We are fed in this church. We are fed. We are not entertained in this church. We are fed. Week after week after week. I left. I couldn't make church one Sunday. And I came back and learned that while I was away, we were taught about the importance of not being one leg in and one leg out. It's as if year after year, God wants us to make the mark. And I remember the book of Hebrews in which the Lord said to us that he chastises every son that he receives. And I thank God that we're partakers by his word of his chastisement. But today I want to touch quickly, and I really don't want to take a lot of time. I know I'm always saying that. Tenny, keep me honest. 25 minutes. Start your clock. Keep me honest. I really don't, because one, I'm just recovering from cold myself, so my energy is low. But the Holy Spirit will help me. Brafemi brought a virus to my house. It's all on him this week. All on him. Because I started sneezing when you came, remember? Yeah. Brothers and sisters, I want us to, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, don't open to it, write it down. There's so many scriptures that you might, I just want us to listen. He says, everything that happened in the past happened for our learning, that we may through patience and comfort of the scriptures have hope. That means everything that happened to the apostles, there's nothing in the Bible that was written by accident. That's what that verse is saying. Let's hold that. And I want to talk about waiting on the Lord. I'm thinking today, and I'm asking myself, Lord, what is it that we are not doing wrong? We're not doing right. We're doing a lot of things. Our bookshops are filled with all the necessary translations in the Bible. Gender-specific translation, NIV, language-specific. There are more Christian books today written about many more things. So there's direct scriptures quoted regarding every issue in life more than ever before in the Christian world. But there's something, there are more Christian activities as a matter of fact. The churches we built are beginning to crumble. They are being sold to Islamists as we speak. Churches are getting tired of good old tired services. They are putting in entertainment to draw people. We're doing all kinds of gimmicks. Less evangelism, less prayer. There are still more people in Sunday service than prayer meetings. And I think, in my opinion, that prayer meetings is a reflection of faith. That's what I think. For those who really believe that this is a spiritual work. In every phase, there seem to be more and there seem to be less spiritually. And I'm wondering why. And over the years, it's beginning to occur to me that a lot of works, Christian spiritual work, is done in the flesh. We have taken the initiative away from God and we're seizing it. And when you do that, it doesn't last, because anything that is not built on the foundation of faith, anything that God with his own hand does not build, will not stand. So this morning, I want to talk about waiting on the Lord. And most of the time when we speak on this topic, it relates to waiting for something. And that's true. The scripture is replete with examples of people who had to wait for promises. But I want to speak specifically to even waiting for the Lord to take the initiative, even in spiritual work. It's the most difficult thing to do, especially for spiritual people. It's very tough to allow God to take the initiative, especially when it relates to something that he has said. When he says it, at times we feel that it's our job to do it. Is looking at the screen. I thought there was something showing on the screen. But God is able. It's very, very hard to wait. Someone should read quickly from me from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to 31. And while someone is reading that, I like us to write these scriptures down to read on our own. Psalm 27, 14. Romans 12, 14. Write that down. Habakkuk 3, 17. Write that down. That's the right pronunciation, right? Habakkuk. Habakkuku. In Yoruba, Ekwa Church, we used to say Habakkuku. Psalm 27, 14, a memory verse. Romans 12, 14. And Habakkuk 3, 17. We're still good. Psalm 27, verse 14. For your private study, you can read. But someone should read Isaiah chapter 40, verse 27 to 31. Real quick, which is the regular application for waiting on the Lord that we have. But it applies to everything.
Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
This is the popular verse about the need. And I'm glad that this verse is saying, even those who are naturally strong, their strength will fail them. But there's a special capability that God gives to the people who have perfected this art of waiting on him. Do we understand that, people of God? Waiting is hard. I remember we've always used the illustration of a waiter in a restaurant, just duly waiting on someone. But the Christian waiting is that, but it's extra. Thank God that while you wait, like a good waiter, I don't think any restaurateur or whatever they call them, we want the waiter to just sit around. A great waiter, while they wait, has plenty to do. You can change the napkins, right? In fact, maybe some very high-end restaurants that you've been to, you have a waiter just, if I don't like waiter just standing and waiting because I feel I'm in a hurry to, you know, I'm trying to understand your menu and you're just waiting and I'm nervous. Okay, what is this? This is written in French. This is no. I'll say, please. So a great waiter knows, may I get you a drink while you decide? Goes away, gets a drink, changes a napkin there, sits, stays out of focus, waits for you for the time you decide. Then after a while, comes to you. Are you ready to order? Oh, no. Okay, I've been a waiter before. I did waiter job. That's how a great, there's something. So there may be a great project, which is to bring out the food, to take the order and bring out the food. But while you're doing that, God has left us a lot. You're never going to be idle. You should be a good mother. That's the work of the Lord. You might think a waiter can say, it's not my job to change the napkins. My job is, no, that's not a good waiter. There's always something to do. While that prophecy, while you want to take the gospel to all the nations, are you a great father? Are you a great worker at work? These are all works of the Lord. And we must be mindful of all of this work of the Lord, which is part of waiting on the Lord. It is God's work. Are you a great choir member? We always want the big things. We are waiting for the big prophetic voice. And it will come to pass. But right now, today, are you waiting on the Lord? Waiting on the Lord is being early to work. Waiting on the Lord is doing what is expected of you. every time that you curse by your behavior, that the name of the Lord should be glorified, you are waiting on him. And those who wait like that upon the Lord. And that's the most difficult wait. It's very easy to be anointed an apostle. Well, it's not easy. I mean, it makes the headline. But to love one another does not make much of a headline. Those are the jobs. That's doing the work of the Lord. To wait on him. Romans 15, 14 that I read said we should learn from the ancients. I want us to just quickly, how many minutes do I have left? Okay, to take some examples from the ancients. Don't write down, I'm going to have to say the story, you read it at home. Abraham was supposed to receive the prophecy. What was the prophecy that when he was in awe of the Chaldeans? What did the Lord say to him? Get out from your father's house to the land I will show you. I'm going to make you a great nation. Your children will be like the sands of the beach and all of that, right? Correct. If you were Abraham, what would you think? You just heard the voice of the Lord. You would think, in the next 5 years, I'm going to have Dubai as my possession, right? That was his area, right? He said, a great nation. I'm going to have children. My slaves will have children. I'll become a great nation. But what happened to Abraham? Read Genesis 17. Let me just read from verse 17. After years, Abraham said, that scripture said, that Abraham fell on his face and, I'll start from 15. God said to Abraham, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her and I will give you a son by her, and then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? As of the time when he was 100, he was still waiting. And at that point, he believed that this promise would no longer come to pass. Abraham drew before then. When you go to Genesis 16, the chapter before then, and this is what happens when you are waiting on the Lord and you have friends to advise you and your family, they give you advice, right? They'll give you advice. So his wife came to him and said to him, look, I have an idea. You've been waiting. You've been telling me about this dream that you had about a great nation coming from you. It doesn't seem to be working out. We are really old and past menopause. Let me give you an idea. I do have a young maid in here, right? Right, we're going to help God bring his promise to pass. Right, they were going to help the Lord. That was why Abraham laughed in 17. And he did it, right? And of course, it worked. Because suddenly, the servant, Hagar, right, had a son, Ishmael, right? So it worked. But what did it cost? Now, Abraham actually thought that was the plan, because if you read that 17 or 16, he was saying to God, oh Lord, let the servant, the sons of my servant and Ishmael inherit the promise. I know you gave me this promise. I don't want you to embarrass yourself, dear Lord. But I have an idea. That nation that you promised, your word will still come to pass. Just let it be through, because you have been so slow. I'm about 100 years old. So when the Lord insisted that, I know what I commanded you, he laughed. Father Abraham had to learn patience, and God brought his word to pass. Because he circumvented the law of the Lord, he created a problem for his own family. You all know what happened. The Sarah that came up, that family member that came up with a great idea for Abraham, that maiden became a derision to her. She had to cry and say, husband, drive this woman out of the house. That's what happens when we help the Lord to do his spiritual work. It's happened too many times. God has not told you, because you want to spread the gospel to all nations, he has not told you to be a pastor. You decided to be a pastor. And then when the congregation begins to give you headache, you say, Lord, but I followed your will. God did not tell you to go on mission. You decided to go on mission because the Bible says you will spread. You haven't heard him. spreading, and then they kill you there. You say God did evil. God. I want to move on because I promise we. I'd like to give a few more examples. I started seeing this. How about Moses? Moses was born a fair child. His people were in captivity, right? He was fortunate. He was a prince that was found in a river. So his name was called Moses, right? So he grew up with Egyptian education, well equipped. He was an elite. But one day, he never forgot. He wanted to do the right thing, like Abraham. He never forgot his people. He went to the field one day, and because he was an Egyptian, you know, in by adoption, he quickly tried to help God to bring the deliverance of Israel. He killed an Egyptian and buried the Egyptian. But when he heard the roar of Pharaoh, what came upon Moses? He was scared. Don't help God. Because Moses obviously would know the story of his people. Before the right time, he decided to play the hero. Then the Lord taught him a lesson. The Lord drove him from the prince. He became a shepherd. And then when the Lord was ready, what happened to Moses? Moses was now ready to be used by God because he had become weak. He was begging, please send someone else. Please send someone else. Exodus 4:10. By that time, Moses was no longer cocky. See, the Lord does not need your strength. He's quite clear, capable of telling you what to do and when. He's capable of telling when and how he wants to do it. Please be very weary of being too forward with spiritual work, especially spiritual work. It's better to wait and change the napkins and do as a Christian the little things that God has sent you than to embark on a Christian mission without being 100% sure. See, when God was ready, Moses was now begging the Lord. He said, please show me a sign. How about if they say they won't listen to me? How about this? Oh, Lord. Even after the Lord showed him a sign, he was still saying, Lord, I cannot do it, until the Lord got mad with him and said, are you kidding me? He said, look, I'm not quite an orator. Okay, I'm going to give you Aaron. When you are weak, so that the excellency of the... That's, you know why many Christian endeavors are filled with cocky people? Because, of course, the initiative was started by them. If you own it, you will glory in it. If you can't do it without God, you will not glory. God does not need your strength. He needs you to reflect his power. Only weak people can do that. On the Lord, especially. We're all full of ideas. God's plan transcends one generation. Transcends generation. It gives a word in one generation, and it's fulfilled in the many of the things we are trying to build today. A new covenant church may never come to pass. Maybe it will be Tenny's grandchildren that will bring it to pass. Just wait on the Lord. But when you see blossoming churches with numbers around you, you also think, what are we doing? Are we being slow? Are we this? Are we that? But the Bible says, concerning his promises, the Lord is not slack. Just wait. And I want to tell you that waiting does not mean being idle. There are things to do today in Christ that we're ignoring. Wait on the Lord, God's people. Don't be too far. Just love one another. That, you know, he said, this is my commandment, that you have love one for another. Leave the big projects to the Lord. I tell you another example. Samuel, how many times did God call him? If you are God, after you call someone once or twice and they don't know your voice, what will you do? I will choose someone else. Gideon. Was Gideon ready when God called him? No. Did the Lord abandon him? No. He said, oh, I plead you, Lord. Can you show me this one sign so that I really know? Let the dew be, right? We be whatever. Dew fall on whatever, the cotton wool or whatever it is. The Lord will do it. He does not need your approval. In fact, I challenge you not to do a thing until you are sure it's the Lord, because in your power, you will ruin it. We're so afraid that God will speak and we will not do it. It's not the God of the Bible. When he speaks, if he wants you to do something, he will make sure you hear it. Was Joshua ready when the Lord came to him? Why would someone, will he be ready? The Lord had to keep telling him, have I not told you, be of good courage? It must have been that the Lord was quick. Moses is gone. Oh my God. And the Lord said, calm down. Calm down, calm down. Be of good courage. Have I not told you? Be of good courage. And that was why you find that men like Gideon and Joshua were strong, because they were backed up by the Lord. It's not, hey, the Lord has written in the days of our fathers, so we must do it. No, no. If God wants you to do something, be careful with spiritual work. If God wants you to do something, he will tell you. The Bible tells us in the book of John, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Mark, that God said, go and spread the good news to all nations, right? From Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost part of the world. One of those commandments was given to the 12. At least the 12 were there. How many of the 12 went all over the world? We don't know the precise number. Was it all of them? Majority of them stayed in Jerusalem. God gave them a vision. They were wise men. They waited for God to give them the tactic and the strategy as well. So the Lord told them, abide in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Then you will go out. Many of us, without being endued with power, we go out and we form great churches, and then it falls off, or you fall into temptation and you come because you are doing the work that God has not sent you. Wait on the Lord. He's not slow. It's, the Bible says, he's not slow concerning his promises. Just do your part. When you hear a voice say, go and do something, say, Lord, is this you? When Moses did, the Lord did not chastise him. He confirmed. The Bible is replete. How many more minutes, Tenny? Okay. The Bible is replete with examples. Everywhere I look, examples. David was anointed with oil. Many of us, after all your brothers have been overlooked and you're anointed, you go about like the anointed one. Say, oh, you are about to stop. Sit down. Because you've been anointed. Eh? Stand up. Sit down. No, David was still playing his harp. Was still playing his harp. Like Bella said earlier, even when the chance came for him to use his own sword to be king, he refused until the Lord's time. Everything that is written, brethren, is written for your learning. Be prayerful. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. But the example I leave you with is the one that's puzzled me the most in scriptures. How many years did Christ spend on earth? How many years of ministry did he have? How? Why? That's a waste. How can you have 33 years to bless mankind? And you only spend... So what was the Lord doing for the first 30 years? Sister Success. Ordinary carpenter. He was arranging napkins. We don't know. That's the answer, by the way. We really don't know. We also know that he must have been studying scriptures, because at age 12, he was in the temple, you know. Just doing ordinary things. He knew he had just 33 years. He spent 30 years. But you know what Jesus told us? He said, my Father walketh, hitherto I walk. I don't do anything except my Father sees it. Listen, God will build his church. Whether in life, but this morning's own is about spiritual work. Please don't join those who are too anxious for you to go and do things. Do what God wants you to do. Do you have the patience of spirit to seek the Lord in prayer? How many people still hear from the Lord? He speaks. He will tell us what to do. David, after they captured, one more minute, after they captured, two more, after they captured his wife and they captured his kids, how many of you would bother to, and you had an army around you? What would you do? You come home and see that your kids, everybody has been kidnapped. What will you do? Them, would that be the time to call a prayer meeting? David already had a strong army around him, but he said, call the priest, bring out the effort. And he sought the face of the Lord. Shall I chase them? Oh Lord, he said, chase them. Hey, Lord, I know you. You can chase them. That may be my grave. Will I over? He asked specific questions. He said, yes, we overcome. And then with confidence, he rode, because God had said, go. Brothers and sisters, Wait on the Lord. I've seen too many. All these churches built of old, they are now mosques. They are more. Not only the missionary told me this. He said, Brawale, everybody says go. He said, very few people are spiritual enough to say don't go. Because we love action. But the most difficult thing in Christianity is to wait. Let us pray. Habakkuk teaches us that even when the vine does not bear fruit, and forget the exact structure, he said he will yet wait on you. One of the greatest tests of faith is the ability to do nothing until it's your time. Father, as a church, we are so hungry for many things now. We've been praying for decades. Not only that you revive us as a people, but our nation. And I know, Lord, that you will do it. At times we're weary. We want to see what it is you've promised to come to pass. Give us the grace daily, Lord, to wait on you. Help us not to lose our faith. Please bless us, Lord. We just want to make every day count for you, not just the big events, but every day, in every little gesture, to be a light to the world and a representative of Jesus, that we have no wasted days, but all of our days will be spent waiting on you. Blessed are you, Lord. Keep us this week as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.